the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you to return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear that way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and everyone else, just as ours does for you. May you strengthen your hearts so that you may be blameless and holy in the presence of our Lord and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones.
Very nice. Thanks for reading that for us. 1 Thessalonians 3 is the context, and the text is verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And he also says here, verse 1, when we could stand it no longer. And also, he says it again in verse 5, when I could stand it no longer. We'll see that context. People of God, it's good. It's good to have a Gem Sunday. It's wonderful that you can share your theme with us and that we can be encouraged and challenged by it. It's always just a beautiful thing, the Gem's ministry among us. I like the litany you started with. We worked through that, explained to us what God's love was, and that gave us a nice visual. Your logo this year is a picture of a girl holding up a heart. You don't actually have it on the bulletin here, but the logo is a big heart, right? The girl is holding up a big heart, and that's the love of God to her, and then all little hearts overflow. Did you make the banners? Actually, do you make? No, some Gems groups make the picture as a banner. But that sense of God's love overflowing, right? As that comes to us in Scripture, it is that truth that Suzanne shared with us too, that God our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, to die on the cross, to rise from the grave, and to give us that hope of eternal life. Easter morning in Lacombe, the news came that a member of the church had passed away that morning, that very morning. And that, in fact, was my great-grandmother, Grace Vanderveen, and she was 108 years old. And so we knew things were coming to an end. Around 108, you can... yeah, She had done well for many, many years. And she was good almost to the end. But then, slipped away, Easter morning, she died. And her constant testimony was the love of the Lord in Christ for me. And so we received the news on Easter morning, and we buried her on Friday in the joy of the risen Lord, the love of the Lord speaking into our hearts and lives. That reality taking hold in all of our lives is what the letter of Thessalonians in chapter 3 is getting at, that we first receive that love of the Lord, that we see that love, and then it overflows to others. Just to give you the context here, an example, first of all, is in this chapter. And that's why we read the whole chapter. And it is, in fact, Paul, who is writing from Athens. He is not in Thessalonica. Thessalonica is a city, but he is in Athens at the time he writes this letter. And he's writing this letter back to the church that he established in Thessalonica. And he loves those people. He has been part of their beginning as a church. He's been working with them. And then he was forced to leave, and he did not actually do as much as he would have liked. But he continued as much as possible to stay in touch. But of course, back then, they didn't have Facebook and Instagram and all those things. And so, in fact, he didn't know much about what was going on there. And so, just can you imagine that he says too, when We could stand it no longer. They loved those people. They wondered about those people. They worried about those people. They really loved those people. And they hadn't heard anything and they weren't sure. And so when I left this morning, my wife said too, when you get there, if you get there, call me. Because I love you. And if you're in the ditch, I want to know, right? And so, and I said too, I'll call you and then you call the church here and tell them that they're on their own. But he's that love. When you could stand it no longer, that's what he starts with. Hey, what is that? When he could stand it no longer, he was thinking about them. He was praying for them. He was worried about them. He loved them. And when he could stand it no longer, what did he do? Well, while he was busy there in Athens building up the church, he was doing a lot of good work, and Timothy was with him there, and he needed Timothy there. Things were going, and it was busy all day, all night, and yet, because he could stand it no longer, this is that great love, the love of God for him, the love of God for the church, the love of God for the church in Thessalonica. Then he says in verse 2, we sent Timothy. Even though we really needed Timothy, we sent him. That self-sacrificial love. Says, wait a minute, no, we need Timothy here. And we're not going to worry about you over there. No, we are worried about you. We love you. And Timothy is going to go and he is going to find out, see what's going on. You have to realize between Athens and Thessalonica, it's about a 500-kilometer walk. So that's a long walk. And so to send Timothy is a personal sacrifice for Timothy, and it's also quite a commitment, and yet it needs to be done out of love. So you see, a love overflowing in action, we're sending Timothy. And so that's evident right here in this passage. They send Timothy also, verse 3, because there are trials and things in Thessalonica, and that was partly why Paul left. It says here that there was threats there, that they were worried, these trials, verse 3. There were trials there. So they just started this new church, and yeah, there are a lot of things that are working against that church. So they are wondering too, what is really going to happen? And that persecution of the church, and that is also again behind verse 5. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find about your faith. And so that's his loving concern. The result of that concern is verse 6, where it says, Timothy went, was there, ministered there, and then has come back with the good news that things are well, and that even in the trials, even in the difficulties, God has been at work in wonderful ways. And so you can see the love from Paul and even the love of Timothy in going, overflowing in going, and then it overflows again from Thessalonica back to Paul and the church in Athens. And they are very encouraged in the faith. And so as they minister to each other, as they work back and forth, you can see God's love at work. Verse 7, in all our distress, we were encouraged about you. And so that encouragement comes back to them. And then he says to stand firm in the faith, thankfully, joyfully. And then he sums it up, verse 12, that you, the Lord, might make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. So that's why he adds that in the text, just as ours does for you. So he wants to demonstrate, remind even us reading now too, to see in this example of how the love of God overflows, even as he is concerned for that church in Thessalonica that he's writing to here. That reality of God's love overflowing is a beautiful thing. And it's a constant reminder for us as a church too. As we celebrate Easter, as we think about, okay, what does that mean now? How does that work? How does that impact our lives? And that we also see the love of God in Jesus and that we let it overflow in our lives. And that hinges with Paul and the Thessalonian church, of course. He knew them, he loved them, he cared for them. But it really hinges not on who we're called to love. It's not based on if the people we want to love are actually lovable, or the people God wants us to love, if they're really lovable or not. It's God's love in us that simply overflows to others, even if they're not terribly lovable, because we weren't terribly lovable when God showed his love for us in Jesus. So that sense of God's love overflowing in response to what God has done for us. So I brought along, especially for the gems too, a little demonstration here of the overflowing love of God. And so I have a bowl here and I have a cup, and the cup is filled with beautiful, clear water. Now, when we think about God's love overflowing, we think too that God's love flows in us and then it overflows to others. How does that work exactly? Well, our dear friend John Calvin, one of the Reformed fathers of faith, he very clearly points out, as a Reformed church, that in fact we are sinners. We are sinners from birth. And so in the overflowing of things, we have to recognize, first of all, that love is not the first thing that overflows from us. And that overflowing is in fact a constant thing that we have to maybe just be aware of a little more. And if love isn't overflowing, then other things are overflowing. And so I just have here to demonstrate that, and a few examples. Here, this is not my drinking water. This is, let's say, the first example is if, like we in our selfishness, instead of being loving, we are selfish often. And we want things our way. I don't know about the gems. You're pretty good, of course. But sometimes we just want things our way. And it helps us get our way if we tell a little lie. So this is lying. And if you tell a little lie, then your life is not pure and clean anymore. You're a sinner. And so you can see that right away. So if you tell a lie, then often you need to tell another lie. Because once you tell a lie and say, oh, I was here when you weren't really there, and then someone says, oh, I didn't see you there, and then you have to tell another lie because something else happened. And so it starts to get a little more. And then what happens, they find out that you lied, and then, yeah, they're hurt by it, but then they think, well, you lied, and now I'm stuck, so I'll lie, and it overflows, and then one person lies to another, and in the end, who can you really trust, right? Because I know I lie, and people telling me things, is that true? I don't know. And can we really trust each other? And so the picture of overflowing, the sin overflows, and our sin overflows. You also have it, this is, I thought too, in terms of gossip. I had it the other day again too. Happens, people say, Pastor, did you hear? And yeah, and then if you start to gossip about people and say, oh, and then somebody tells you something from the heart, right? Somebody shares with you something they're really struggling with, and they expect you to keep it confidential. And that's why councils have to keep things confidential. But they don't. And then things start to get a little darker. And it overflows as well, because what you hear about somebody and say to everybody else hears something about you and says it to somebody else. And then everybody knows what's going on in your life, which really nobody should know. And pretty soon everything starts to break down, and the overflow of the breakdown becomes darker and darker. And the sin in us overflows. So here you can see it. The sin in us will overflow. The overflowing is natural. This is just an example of greed. In our culture, greed is unbelievable. Greed, I want what I want, and I want more of what I want, and I'll get what I want. And selfishness is the opposite of love, and greed is the heart of our culture. You need something new. You need something bigger. You need something better. And you want others to know. And it comes to our mind so easily, and it overflows. Oh, what did you get? Oh, I got a new phone. Oh, I want a new phone. Oh, what did you get? Some new shoes. Oh, I need some new shoes. And it overflows. You know how that overflows. It overflows and it overflows. And we get all the advertisement, and you think, oh, that's not me. But it is you. And it is me. It's our sin. And as we take part in it, it overflows, and it just continues to overflow. And it's not loving when we're greedy, and it's not loving when we gossip, and it's not loving when we lie. But he says there's an overflowing that's going on. And so we need to be aware of that. And we need to repent of that. How do you actually get out of that? He says the love of God overflows. Now, this is the best I can do at this point. You really need a hose attached to this, because the love of God continues to flow, right? And the love of God, when it overflows in us, when you start to let the love of God flow into you, what does it do, first of all? It cleanses you. And that takes a little bit. Can you see? It takes a fair bit. I might need the gems to get some more water in a bigger bowl. Look at that. It takes a little bit. We're starting to get there. Yikes. We're getting a little... Okay. Fun, though. You can start to see it, right? It starts to get a little clearer. And so that's when we say, I'm not going to gossip anymore. By God's grace. Right? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm going to tell the truth in love. And as it goes on, you can see it clears, and we're almost back to clear. God's love will first cleanse us. And then as we go forward in God's love, okay, as we go forward in God's love, now we are overflowing. Now we are overflowing nicely. So that's the picture he has in mind. The picture of God's cleansing love, God freeing us from our sins. And when we focus our lives on God, when we focus our walk on doing his will, then you can see he strengthens our heart, verse 13. He makes us blameless and holy in his presence. And he continues to make our lives a blessing to others. And that's what he wants. And by God's grace, we can go forward in faith, step by step, overflowing in love to our God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. for your love that forgives our sins, that cleanses us, that gives us the proper direction in serving you. Lord, we pray that you would help us. Help us to be faithful to you in how we speak to one another, in how we can be good friends to one another, keeping confidence. If someone shares something with us and they say, oh, don't tell anybody, and we don't tell anybody, and we're there for them, and we confide in, they can confide in us, and we can just continue to minister to people around us in good and healthy and upbuilding ways. We pray, Lord, that we would also be a witness in this greedy culture against all that is pushed on us, and that we would recognize that you are all we need and that you provide all we need. Lord, we thank you that you pour your love into our hearts so abundantly. Fill us to overflowing with thankfulness to you. And may each one here be encouraged to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing as a song of thanksgiving, 10,000 reasons, 10,000 reasons.